Now, last week, there were headlines and hot takes galore about the GAA's policies like no scorekeeping, rolling subs and no cups and no medals for under 12. Lots of people involved seem to miss the fact, me included, that this policy has been in place for several years. It's been in place for several years. But this was just a reminder of what their official policy is, the GAA. And we want to talk a bit more about whether this is mollycoddling or getting the best out of young kids. So neuroscientist Brian Penny is here to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
Interesting, we just mentioned Succession there, no spoilers. Brian has just started watching Succession. I've just started season 4 and we thought, well, there's competitiveness to a T if you want to go down that road. But let's talk about it in this policy by the GAA. It is just a reminder of what the official situation is. But what do you make of it yourself?
I've done a complete U-turn on it in the last week.
No.
Yes, yes, yes. What I have a feeling you might be competitive, Jen, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm very, very competitive as well. And my partner's daughter actually plays GAA under 9s, and she's quite good at it as well. She's really good. Mm-hmm. And when I was going down to the matches, I was saying, like, it's bugging me that the scores, they don't keep scores, because I wanted to know the scores all of the time. And when I came across this idea of the Go Games, I just didn't like it. But on reflection, and I've been doing a little bit of digging around it, I think it's a really, really good idea. It's very nuanced, and there's a lot of variables at play. But I think it's not so much about protecting kids from losing. And I think that's what I thought the whole goal of it was. But it's more about inclusivity, getting them to have fun so they'll come back, and protecting them from the adult ego. And I think that's the big one.
The adult, there it is again. I mean, we've only started this conversation and we're already talking about the adults and not the kids.
Yeah.
The adults who are not playing the game, the adults who are maybe reffing or standing on the sideline, we're talking about them. What do you think of the whole concept of, but there has to be, this is one of the texts I get in, I just always remember it. There has to be room for excellence.
100%. And Etna was just, we were chatting beforehand, and she was saying, like, with your kid, you don't let him win. It's like you're just saying with Mousetrap and sport.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with that, which is strange because that's quite specific. In terms of, you know your child and the person knows their own child. But the GAA is sort of looking this at a holistic level. They're dealing with all kinds of kids. So if they were dealing with kids that are just about, what's the objective here? If it's just about excellence and helping people to sort of hone their performance and hone their skills, well, then that would work brilliant if it was just all about competition.
Yeah.
But there's a massive group of kids, some kids that will be less talented, are just there to have fun. So it's about the bigger picture. Whereas if you're a parent, you're thinking more about your kid. And in terms of you with your kid at home, you can hone those skills in an individualistic way, but this is more of a holistic effort.
It's interesting you put the GAA and holistic together. I would never think of it like that way, but I think you're dead right. And I think isn't the GAA, I've never been in a GAA family, or I mean, my dad's in, but we never played or anything like that. It is about community.
Yes.
And it is about inclusivity. If you look at it in a holistic way, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And that's the vibe. I came from a more soccer perspective. I loved playing soccer when I was younger. And the one thing I really get from the GAA, it's this all-round community where people are coming together. It's younger people coming in and coaching and stuff like that. And it's just a great vibe around the whole thing, and it's a great spirit around it as well. So I think that is, and that really plays. So what is the objectives? Is it about winning? Is it about creating a community where everyone's going to feel together, a sense of belonging? What are the core objectives? And then there's individual objectives within those objectives as well. So that's what makes us so nuanced and difficult to really keep everyone happy.
And the variables you were saying.
Yeah.
Well, people have jumped all over this, but what do we actually know about how winning or losing against your peers it can affect your a young child?
So I think the big thing here is, like, childhood sets the tone for everything. Like, it's your beliefs, it's their actions, how they learn, their emotional world as well. That sets the tone for everything, and it really forges the identity of a kid. And I think identity is a key piece here, because can you imagine that a kid goes, and it's a very competitive arena, they're not getting game time because the manager just wants to win, they're only 9 years of age, they're going to think they're a loser, and they could come up with an identity, I'm a loser. And like, it's more of an American thing, we wouldn't actually use those words, but that would be their sense of that I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody else who's really, really competitive, I'm a winner. I always win. And that can be great, but that has its own disadvantages as well. That's what sort of brings the ego into play as well. So it's really around forging those kind of identities on the kids. We're setting the tone for what the kids believe and we know about themselves, and we have to be protective of that. But at the same time, excellence and really healthy competition can teach kids so much. It's like how to lose with grace, humility, how to win with humility, lose with humility. It's about self-confidence, how to handle pressure. It's really preparing them for the real world. So again, it comes down to this balance. So it's a tricky kind of a situation, but I think when it comes to kids, of what it can teach them great things, but it needs to be balanced, because it can really send some kids down the wrong path and create those belief systems where they're not good enough, which can spiral into other areas of life.
I took my young one, Florence, who is 8, to her first karate tournament. And she was so anxious the night before. Mm. And I was like, well, do you know what? Let's just go and have fun and see if you want to fight, because you have to get in a ring and literally kick someone in the head.
Scary.
For points. Scary thing. She did great. She won 3 of her matches. And that was great. But I'm wondering now, if she had lost those 3, would she be racing back into the karate class? You know, and how do I deal with the winning? We all know, we kind of all know, if we've any decency, how to talk to a kid who's lost. You know, you try harder, next time it doesn't matter. Do you want to go get ice cream? You know, we know how. But with a kid who wins, I suppose, your language that you use and how you treat them is just as important.
Yeah.
Because if she loses the next match, that's going to be a big fallout.
But that's it, isn't
that's
it?
That's parenting. Yeah. Mind.
You're building them up on a pedestal, and that's their identity. Their identity could even be, I'm a winner now, but I need to be a winner for my mom, because she puts me on that pedestal when I win, so I need to stay there. So that's a huge danger as well. So I think it comes in, even like holistically there's a balance, but even individualistically there's a balance there as well.
You mentioned the adults in your first sentence when we were talking about this. How important is our role as parents, as sideline, you know, watch, as referees, as coaches? I mean, we're vital in that development, aren't we? And making sure we're taking the holistic approach as well.
Yes, we are and we aren't, right? So I was actually doing a little bit of research around this, and my partner actually put a bit of a survey into the GA teams, mm-hmm. asked them perspectives, and a lot of the kids were saying, like, did they want to win, are they just there for fun? And it was two things: they want to win and they want to have fun. That's what came out. That's what massively jumped out of the answers from the parents. And I was looking into this, and like, there's a Darwinian perspective, an evolutionary perspective of this. Like, we call it survival of the fittest. But what is the fittest? It could be survival of the winner. So that's like, in terms of biology, an evolutionary approach, the biology that sort of is the most competitive and the best that wins. And that comes from behavior as well. Like, if you are a kid, a child, learning how to pick up a bottle, and a light grip doesn't pick it up, and then all of a sudden a harder grip picks it up, that behavior is reinforced. That behavior wins, and that follows true. Mm-hmm. So basically, winning and competing to get better is in the fabric of our beings. You see 5-year-old kids, they want to be faster than the other 5-year-old. Yep. So it's there at that evolutionary level. We're hardwired to compete and hardwired to win. So I don't think we need to be pushing it. I think it's already there. It's there already.
It's like with the scores, Brian, because you were like, oh, I wish they were keeping score. Kids know if they've won or lost.
They know. Keep the score regardless.
They do.
And it's interesting. So I think What the adults have to do, it's more of massaging it and nurturing it and letting them know that it's okay to lose, but it's important to win, but it's not about everything. But then looking at the individual needs of the kid as well. Like if they have super, super talents, well, then you want to hone that skill as well and say, well, winning is important. Maybe you put a bit more emphasis on that, but there will be failures within that as well. So try to make sure you're not setting them up for a fall. And what is the adult objectives? Like if you have a lack of self-worth of your abilities as a kid, don't be living through your kids to give you that sense of fulfillment, because like the adult ego, true association, my kid's doing great, that's my blood, I'm doing great, like it's even back to that perspective.
And we need to get a handle on it and teach kids, you know, about the importance of winning and losing and how to act appropriately because of this reason. I just got a text in. It says, I was at an under 8 blitz last night. The chants from the kids on one team were calling the other team names. Adults didn't call them out on it. Huge problem. Wow. Also, one boy from the team got thick on the pitch and absolutely refused to shake hands afterwards. And he was allowed to do this. What should you do in this scenario? Parents didn't get involved.
Wow, that's... Do you know what I think?
Well, that's why the GAA... I mean, this is why this is one of their policies, to try and curb that...
curb that.
..that behaviour. But I suppose it's going to seep in.
It's a culture thing.
It's a culture thing.
It's like a culture of the team. Like we can have like the culture of the GA and they're trying to instill that individually with different clubs. But there's a culture of within the team that the coaches are going to bring. So if the coaches are saying it's about fair play, you always shake hands, these are the values we instill in our club, this is what we do. Well, then people, the young kids are going to sort of obey those values. The values keep us in place. The culture keeps us grounded in the behaviours that we employ. But if there's other adults there, and it could be parents, it could be coaches, it could be dominant parents that will speak their mind if the coaches say something out of turn against their kids. There's all of those dynamics going on. So there needs to be a mandate, I suppose, from the clubs. This is what we do. This is how we operate. This is the values of the team. And that sort of can keep, it's a company thing, it can be, but it can keep everything in line then, you know.
Anyone involved in the JAA Go Games will know that teenage referees is a vital part of the game. It's important to protect them, isn't it?
It really is. And it's my experience of that has been interesting. This could be just my personal experience, but what I found, adult ego, I found myself thinking like they should be stronger, they should be better. And I'm like, they're young kids. Some of them are like 15, 16 years of age. And I'm expecting them to be Premier League standard referees. Like they were a bit, some of them to be a bit like lightly spoken because of all the adults, probably all that ego on the sidelines. But we need to nurture that and support them. They're still kids. Some of these are still kids refereeing other kids. So the support has got to be there for them as well. Because I don't know, but I've heard that that's the fabric of the GA community as well, as these young kids coming in and doing the refereeing.
Another text in, the adult ego is so interesting. It's an interesting concept. I see it in my own family. I was never a sporty person and didn't keep up GAA for very long. But my wife's family all play at county level. The pressure on my kids coming from my wife is unreal. She instills they should be respectful to their teammates and to other opposing team. But her adult ego is out of control. And our eldest son is only 9. I secretly hope they don't play GAA as a result.
Whoa.
Someone else says, Jennifer, the competition piece should be secondary. Priority should be kids playing with their peers. Then they'll get the game time, more touches and more enjoyment. I mean, it seems that the GAA, they're putting it out again. This is our official approach to how it should be done, because it's about inclusivity and, you know, people like to win and that's fine. But it all comes down to keeping, what it sounds like since we've started this conversation, is keeping the adult ego in check.
Yeah, it really is. That's the essence of it. That is the essence of it. It really is.
I mean, the focus of this is to be that the development of players who are under 12 is damaged by a focus on winning, and people then leave the sport at a young age. And there's so much danger in that, isn't it? If, you know, these young kids are being pushed out because they don't know their potential, because they're being pushed out in favour of better players, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I think... I think one of the challenges there as well is like, it's not that there does seem to be a trend of kids leaving at that age, but there could be many other factors at play as well. It could be just the age where people leave sports, they find other interests, they're going into secondary school. Yeah. So all of a sudden there's lots of other elements there. So you can't just look at the data and say there might be a relationship there with kids leaving sports versus at that age, but it could be other factors at play as well. But it's like, I think we can instill the healthy competition, like, to, even if you wanted to bring that to another level, like let's say you wanted to bring that to 15 years of age, and I wouldn't be supporting that, to be quite honest, because I think it is the competition is really important. There's so many lessons within that as well. But sometimes I think about it, how can we be competitive? We can be competitive with ourselves and compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Yeah. And who you are the next day. So you can sort of instill a healthy competition at an individual level as well. So I think that's really, really important too. But like, you would guess some kids then as well, the flip side of that is like, if there's no competition, some kids might thrive on the competition and they will excel in that arena. So like, there's no way can you have two competitions. That's obviously not a solution. It's not plausible. But there is two sides of the coin here, and we need to balance both sides. And I think that's fundamentally the issue, and maybe what really charges up the adult ego as well, because there is a very real issue here as well that can't really be balanced.
But the reason we got you in, and you've explained so well, and just to reiterate, competitiveness is there from a biological level. It's there in us.
It's in us.
So it's not something that we have to teach. No. It's just something that we have to nurture and handle with care, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in today to take a look at this for us. It turns out that maybe this GAA policy, which has increased underage membership by 30%, might not be a bad idea after all. We'll be back right after this.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.